Roosevelt was elected for one more term during the war. How do you think the re-election, how did he get re-elected, or why did the people want him, even though he was president during the war, while the war started?
Yes, he declared the war, but everybody had such great respect for him because Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese, so he had to declare war. And so they respected him so, and he was always on the air every morning almost talking about what was going on. He kept us informed. And then, as I said, we had new things coming in, and money and things to do and all this that we had not been exposed to. And so that's why he was reelected.
What were some of your reactions to the attack, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, and Japan and Germany declaring war on the United States?
After I understood what was going on, I was bitter. I was very bitter because I thought, why would they do this? And coming in, and we were a little bit disappointed, thinking maybe why wasn't our troops on Pearl Harbor not more alert? But then we began to realize, you know, about how they sneaked in and what they did and everything. But there was a lot of people killed there and a lot of ships destroyed and all, and they just slipped right in on them. And so we had a lot of mixed emotions about that. And then as it went on, the war went on, of course, it was more heartaches. And so I think that's the thing that I remember most about it.
What do you recall about the invasion of Normandy?
We were sitting around the radio, and see, they didn't tell it till, you know, they kept talking about what was going on in Normandy. And that morning they said that we had landed on Normandy, and the Germans had all lined up, and so we had many, many people killed there, and troops, but they kept bombing, and ships kept coming in, and kept on, until we finally captured it, but it was a lot of people missing.
Tell me about the end of the war and the atomic bomb being dropped on Japan.
At the end of the war, I was living in an apartment up on 18th Street and working downtown in a store called Taylor's Dress Shop. And we were home when we heard it, and I heard all the sirens going off and the bells are ringing, everybody hollering. And so we went out, and from where we lived on 18th Street all the way down to 10th Street was just crowded. It was just crowded. Everybody's down there hollering and, you know, shouting and, you know, just having a good time. And we were so excited. It was just something beyond our belief that it had ended, you know. And so we had a good time that night in the streets. But the atomic bomb, they kept it such a secret until we didn't know much about it. And so after it dropped and found out what they did do, I really worried about, was that the thing to do? Because it killed so many innocent people and scarred them for life. But President Truman was the one that he said the buck stops with me, and he did not care. You know, this is what he thought it needed to be done, and I suppose it was. But we, as you know, young adults, we really worried about it, because why would they do something like that and kill those innocent people? So I guess it's proven through the years that was a thing to do. I don't know. In high school, I was so concerned about the war, along in the 42 and 43, I was so concerned about it until I went by the post office and I saw this form to fill out to go into Ways, and it had this pretty little hat on and this little uniform, and of course, I've always been aggressive, and so I wanted to travel. So I thought, well, I can get out of Clay County and I can sure travel. So I went home that night and I sat down at the waiting at the dinner table. And we sat down, and I said, Dad, I have something that I want you to sign. And I read it to him and told him and I said, I can just travel, and I said, I can be a pep in the war and all that. And I'm going to, this is Dad's quote. He said, boots like hell, I'll sign this. So I did not go in the ways, but I certainly wanted to. Mm-hmm.
Now on to penicillin. It came about in the early 1940s. What do you recall about this important drug?
In 1940, my sister had pneumonia, and she was at the point of death because it didn't have anything for pneumonia. And Mr. Tolan, who I have the privilege of working with, father, was a superintendent of schools in Clay County, and he came to our house. He visited around in homes in Clay County because we needed somebody, different people all the time to come. And he was very good, and he wore a little black hat. And he came to the door and knocked on the door. And so I went running to the door and let him in because I knew him, you know. And he came in, and he was sitting down by the fire. And Dad says, I have a, the doctor had just left. He said, we have a big decision to make. He said, Alice is very, very sick. And at that time, they didn't run and put you in the hospital like they do now. He said, and the doctor tells me they have a new medicine, which is penicillin. And he would like to try it on Alice. And so he said, I don't know what to do about it, you know. And Mr. Tolan said, oh, yes, by all means. Mr. Carter said, I've been reading about that, and I know about it. And he was more educated. So he said, I think you should do that. And so the doctor was going to come back and bring it. And Daddy would decide when he got back, because he was making some more trips, and he was going to go back to Lima and pick up some. And so when the doctor came back, Mr. Tolan had already gone, but Daddy told him, yes, he wanted to try it. And we sat by her bed and held her hand and watched her. And that night, after midnight, her bed was just wet with perspiration. Her fever had broken. So we, yes, I remember penicillin. And it has meant a lot through the years to all of us.
Going back to your childhood when you attended high school, where did you attend and what did you do there?
I attended Lima High School, and I was involved in everything and had a great time. But I was taking home ec, and so this is, it's to this day, I don't sew. That's not one thing that I can do. But I was taking home ec, and we had to make a dress. And so I made a dress out of cheap material, which did not look very good. And the dress didn't do good. But anyway, I made it, and we had to model it. So we went on the stage in high school. So everybody had made a dress, had to, and so I was sitting back there, standing back, so embarrassed, because some of the girls could sew a lot better than me, and they looked a lot better, and their material was a lot nicer than mine, so most of them. And so I was thinking, what can I do? And I thought, I'll go out there, and I'll act like I'm Miss America. So, of course, all the boys and girls was in. I went prissy. Now, you should have seen the show I put on, and I got they started applauding and hollering. And so I was walked across that like I was so proud of that dress, and I threw it in the garbage can when I got back to in the classroom. But we learned a lot in high school, and we participated in basketball and drama and all these things that you do in high school. But at the ball games, we had to either catch a ride with somebody. So not many people had cars, especially the young boys, and the parents wouldn't let them drive their car. And many times, parents would have to take us. You know, my dad finally got a truck, and so he would take us to these functions, pick up people along. We'd tell them we're going to pick you up, you know. And that's the way my friend's father and mother would do. So we had a good time there. But then I was in my senior year, and Spoke Whitley came home from the Army, and I married him. And I had all my subjects, but I didn't have my diploma. So I went, but he was going back, and I knew if he went, and he was very upset that he was going to have to leave, because we'd been engaged for 3 years. And so, I got married and went back to this little boondocks to finish my education. And it was so different from anything I ever attended. And then, after I began working at Anniston and realized I needed further education to be a librarian, I went to business school. And then I went to Tallahassee, Florida, and how long it was now. But anyway, I studied basic librarianship, and graduated with a certificate, not a diploma, but a certificate from that. And then I went to University of Alabama, and same thing, continuing that, and how to write grants and how to deal with people and all these things, and working toward being certified as a librarian. And then I also attended Auburn University at Montgomery. And so through all of this, when I retired, I was still going and studying and, you know, trying to be certified. It takes a long time if you don't have a master's degree. And I felt like I needed a master's degree since I didn't go to college, see. Mm-hmm. And so all this was the basics for that. I've got credits on most of this. And so I felt like that I had hands-on in library. work and also the basics for what I needed to do in library. So I just we had in the high school we certainly had a wonderful time. And the year I went, I was going to go out for majorette. Well, that's when there's all the war and they didn't have a band, couldn't afford a band. And so we didn't have one for 2 years. Because a lot of the boys was gone, you know, and all that. And it was different. But I was disappointed that because I wanted to be a majorette. That sounds much smaller than I am now. All this basic training was for help in the library, and I worked in the public libraries. After then, I retired and been quite busy doing community things and been on the school board and active in the church activities and other organizations such as I'm on the Bowles Library Board, which is Friends of Alabama Libraries, and I've served on that for a long time, and I was one of the four who organized it, and it's meant a lot to public libraries because we had to lobby a lot for money, and it started at 18 cents, now they're getting $1.25, and line item that comes directly to the libraries that we worked so hard for. But all of this basic training helped me there. But I'm retired now doing what I want to do. Except I feel like that I still have a part in helping in the community in whatever I can do.
You mentioned you married Swope Whitley. How is your life with him?
We have had a very happy marriage. And 4 years after we were married, I had my first child, which was a boy. And we lost him in 1962. And then we have a daughter, Elizabeth, who's 4 years older, younger than Mike. And she lives in Bremen, Georgia. We have three beautiful girls. And I still live the same place, 230 Hale Street. And my husband's in bad health, but we still do a lot of things together, and we still travel some. And I'm happy in that retirement. Mm-hmm.